AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. Police are still looking for a Texas man who shot and killed five next-door neighbors after they asked him to stop shooting outside because a baby was trying to sleep. One of those killed was an 8-year-old.
San Jacinto County Sheriff Greg Capers says authorities are searching for 38-year-old Francisco Oropeza following the overnight shooting in the town of Cleveland, about 45 miles north of Houston.
He could be anywhere now.
He says what they found was the suspect's cell phone and some clothing, and investigators believe they have possession of the rifle used in the shooting.
That's CBS's Matt Piper. Authorities say the suspect may still have a weapon and is considered extremely dangerous. This has become an all too familiar sound in parts of Florida as more severe weather has swept through. Residents are assessing the damage in North Palm Beach, where video shows a funnel cloud in the area. Two rival factions of the military continue to battle each other in Sudan. The BBC's Paul Adams has the latest.
If there is to be an all-out battle for Khartoum, the humanitarian consequences are likely to be dire. Speaking to the Saudi-owned television channel Al Arabiya, the UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres said the two sides had no right to carry on fighting when the country was falling apart.
The U.S. has urged all Americans in Sudan to leave as soon as possible. Convoys have been making their way over land to the port of Sudan for safe evacuation to Saudi Arabia. Another bank collapse could be imminent.
Several media reports say the FDIC is close to seizing First Republic and has reached out to several financial institutions for bids to buy it. Last week, the bank disclosed it had lost more than $100 million in deposits, a report that sent shares into a nosedive. American University law professor Gerald Camizio.
No acquirer wants to buy a dead bank. Look for some kind of deal in terms of continuing deposit insurance coverage on uninsured deposits.
If a deal goes through, First Republic would be the third bank to collapse since March.
That's CBS's Peter King. Republicans are taking a victory lap after North Carolina's state Supreme Court reversed its previous gerrymandering ruling. The ruling paves the way for the GOP to expand its majority in the House. CBS's Jeff Glore has the details.
The court voided the state's congressional map as illegal partisan gerrymandering when it had a Democratic majority last year. But in a 5-2 decision released Friday, the new GOP-controlled court said it could not act against claims of partisan gerrymandering. The court ruled the state legislature can now redraw congressional maps.
This is CBS News.
Streamline how you hire with Indeed. Their powerful hiring platform makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
With one of the best savings rates in America, banking with Capital One is the easiest decision in the history of decisions. Even easier than choosing Slash to be in your band.
Next up for lead guitar. You're in.
Cool.
Yep, even easier than that. And with no fees or minimums on checking and savings accounts, is it even a decision? That's banking reimagined. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com/bank for details. Capital One N.A. member FDIC.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
GOAT. G-O-A-T. Acronym. Stands for Greatest of All Time. As in spaghetti sandwiches for dinner? They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
With one call, the Civic Media Network of stations can deliver your business's message to the entire state of Wisconsin.
Or your hometown.
Marketing plans that work for your business. One call can do it all. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
Shriners Hospitals for Children has been creating wonderful opportunities for children in need. This life-changing medical care helps them do the things they've always dreamed of. Go to loveshriners.org.
As long as there are veterans, the Benevolent and Protective Order of Elks will never forget them. Throughout the year, Elks members in your community lend a hand, donate money, volunteer time to enrich the lives of this nation's veterans. It's not something these dedicated Americans feel they have to do. It's something they want to do. Join with America's veterans in saluting the efforts of your local Elks Lodge. Elks Care, Elks Share. To find a lodge nearest you, log on to elks.org. In the past, you were involved with the Benevolent and Protective Order of Elks. Today, your local Elks Lodge and community needs your help more than ever. Why? Because needs for helping the youth, veterans, and our communities are greater than available resources. Please consider becoming involved again. Contact your local Elks Lodge and see how little it costs to become reinstated. Visit our website at elks.org. Elks Care, Elks Share.
A message from your Wisconsin Rapids Elks Lodge, number 693.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Mixed precipitation likely changing to all rain today, otherwise overcast. Highs around 41, northwesterly winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. Mixed precipitation possible at times tonight, lows around 33, cloudy. Mixed precipitation possible at times again tomorrow, 44, overcast skies. A dusting of snow today. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 36.
News, talk, and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Hello, folks. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. Welcome to your Paul Revere Show. We are here on WAUK 540 AM 101 FM. We are here every Monday night at 7. It is a sort of cold spring night, but we have some exciting conversation come up. I'm honored to have State Representative Greta Neubauer with us, the current Democratic leader in the Assembly, so the minority leader, to talk about, you know, what's happening in Wisconsin, democracy in Wisconsin, and what's happening in Madison. So welcome, Greta. Hi.
Thank you so much. Very happy to be here with you, Mark.
So, you know, I want to get into, we had a huge election on April 4th with a new Supreme Court justice. But before we get into that and the sort of its implications, before April 4, where were we at in Madison? You know, I know we're sort of in this world, gerrymandered world, where even though Dems win statewide offices, they have virtual no authority in Madison, and really sort of a hard spot to be in. You're the minority leader. You're young. You know, the future is yours. So where are we at before this election?
Yeah, great question. So we started this legislative session in January, I would say really with three goals as the Assembly Democratic Caucus. The first was, as now the only body in the legislature that is able to protect against veto overrides, the Senate unfortunately did fall into a superminority. We know that one of our top goals has to be protecting Governor Evers' vetoes and making sure that our state is now moving backwards. We are, of course, thrilled that Governor Evers won another term in November and that we were able to just narrowly, by two members in the Assembly, hold off a Republican supermajority in our body as well. So that's a big focus for us. It means we are all going to be spending a lot of time in Madison once those vetoes are available to be overridden, but we know that that is a huge part of our role, because we know that a lot of the bad policies Republicans have introduced over the last few years are likely to come back. We've already seen the proposal to put more guns into schools, right? We've seen a flat tax proposal, which would really exacerbate inequities in Wisconsin when it comes to our tax structure. So a whole lot of bad ideas that we know we may need to be here to prevent from becoming law. Then I would say the second piece of our goal is to try to find bipartisan compromise and opportunities to move policy forward wherever we can. And that's because we know that that's what the people of Wisconsin want from their elected officials. And for our democracy to be successful, we need to demonstrate that government can be a force for good in our state and that it matters when people engage in that process. So it's been really difficult, I'll be honest with you, to get substantive bipartisan policy passed last legislative session. Only 2% of bills proposed by Democrats even got a hearing in the Assembly, while 76% of bills proposed by Republicans got a hearing in the Assembly. So the bipartisanship is a struggle, right? But our members have always shown up, tried to engage as much as possible in those conversations, and that continues to be the case because we simply just cannot wait to get this policy done for the people of Wisconsin. Well, I'm sure we'll get into some of those specific issues, you know, in this hour. And then third, of course, we are going to continue fighting for that long-term vision. You know, we know we're not going to be able to get done everything we want to get done this session. And so we are going to continue putting forward the policies that we believe will really improve people's quality of life in Wisconsin, give everyone the ability to thrive, and continue fighting, of course, for fair maps through the legislature and through the courts to hopefully have an opportunity for the will of the people to really be reflected in this Capitol building. You know, when you're seeing no action on gun safety or, you know, very minimal increases to local government funding or investments in our public schools, protections for the environment, right? Expanding badger care in Wisconsin. These are all widely popular, you know, policy areas that people of Wisconsin, regardless of their party, agree on. But somehow that's just not translating to the Capitol. So we're hoping that moving forward, we'll have more opportunities for this building to really reflect the will of the people and policy that is broadly supported.
You know, you mentioned the flat tax proposal. So where is Governor Evers on his proposal on the budget? And what is this, the flat tax proposal that we're hearing? And frankly, you know, I'm considerably older, and I remember a time in America where the wealthy were taxed up, you know, I think as high as 90% plus, and they were still the wealthiest people in America. But we had a middle class then, much larger than we do now. How is that playing out in the Capitol now?
Yeah, it's a very good question. And there's actually a bit of a new development today on this. So we, of course, are in the middle of budget season. The Joint Finance Committee has been traveling around the state, taking public testimony. Some of you who are listening may have attended those listening sessions and shared your perspective. There are more opportunities to do that over the remainder of this month. Would encourage folks to submit their comments and reach out to their legislators and all those good things. So we don't know exactly what Republicans' proposal is going to be in the state budget, but earlier this year, they rolled out a flat tax proposal, which would put everybody at about 5%. And there have been a couple different iterations of this that we've seen, but one of those iterations would give 80% of the benefit, so the money saved due to this cut, to the top 20% of earners, which just doesn't really make sense to anyone except for the top 20% of earners, right? And frankly, I think after this proposal went out and the public sort of wrapped their heads around it, Republicans, many of them started to back down a little bit, right? We saw other members of the legislature, Republican members, saying it's probably not going to happen right now. Flat tax is probably not going to move forward. Today, we actually saw another bill introduced that in the co-sponsorship memo said this is not a flat tax, but really is a flat tax. It is, I believe it was a 4.5% tax for everyone, except for kind of the really lowest earners who had a 0% tax rate. So, you know, we're continuing to see plans come forward from Republican legislators that are just really not recognizing that some people in Wisconsin are struggling to make ends meet and some people are not struggling to make ends meet. And of course, a flat tax or other proposal like it would mean that it's really hard for us to fund essential services in Wisconsin going forward, right? Create a really significant structural deficit. So Governor Evers' plan that was proposed in his budget gives a 10% cut to earners up to $150,000, earners who make up to $150,000. This is, I would say, a tax cut that is really targeting the middle class, right? If you make over $150,000, you are probably not sitting there on Sunday night wondering, am I going to be able to pay for the food on my kids' table this week, right? But that is the reality for some families in Wisconsin. And so I'm hopeful that we will be able to move something forward that is really targeting working families, middle-class families who actually need that tax cut in the coming years.
You know, you mentioned the joint finance had been traveling around the state talking about the budget. What are people hearing, especially from, you know, rural communities on this notion of a flat tax? Because it seems to me that there's a lot of poverty out in the countryside that isn't talked about. You know, my mom used to live up in Washira County, and I still have a place up there. And it's a place that hasn't voted blue since Obama in 08, but I haven't seen any Republicans deliver any infrastructure, any money to that county, you know, with their plan. So what are you hearing as you go around?
Yeah, so I should clarify. I went to the one in Waukesha because it was in my region. I wasn't in all of the hearings. I'm not on the finance committee. I was last session. Right. But, you know, I think the general themes are really the same in all parts of the state, right? We know that Wisconsin is going to have significant demographic challenges when it comes to our workforce in the years ahead, and those are starting to hit right now. I know that they have heard a lot about caregiving, right? Challenges with finding folks for the workforce and keeping people in the workforce because their salaries are so low. I know we've heard about access to childcare in many communities where, you know, I know in Racine, we have a difficult time making sure that people have access to affordable childcare. If you're in a community that has one provider and they close, you are in huge trouble, right? And that is happening around Wisconsin and will happen to a much greater extent if we don't extend the childcare counts program in this budget. We're hearing about education. Every one of these sessions, we hear from administrators at local districts who say that they are having a really hard time meeting expectations because the state is not really keeping its commitment to our schools. And then, of course, local government. We all know that there's a big problem with the shared revenue formula in that it has not been added to for many years. And so local governments have been cutting and cutting and have really reached a breaking point. So, you know, of course, some differences in different parts of the state, but in many ways, common themes. And, you know, what I'll say in regard to the flat tax there is that what people want is targeted investment in things that will improve their quality of life, right? They don't want a tax cut for the wealthiest people in Wisconsin. A caregiver tax credit? Great, right? Support for childcare? Fantastic. Or training for local workers? Awesome, right? But that's not what Republicans are really offering right now.
Well, thank you. Folks, this is your Paul Revere Show. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. I am here with State Rep Greta Neubauer. We're talking about democracy, and it's, you know, are we alive and well in this state of Wisconsin? Are we moving forward or are we moving backward? And we are going to be back on the other side of the break to talk more in detail about what are the implications from the last election and how that's going to impact the politics of the state. So come on back and join us.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. your tire shine with Superior Coverall Tire Shine at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Our professional parts people can help you choose the right cleaning supplies for your vehicle. Finish any great detail job with Superior Coverall Tire Shine. Right now, get two bottles for just $18. See store for details. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts or O'ReillyAuto.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
If you're grilling this weekend, be sure to have plenty of Village Hearth buns on hand. Fancy equipment and secret sauces are great, but once you've mastered the basics, it's all about the bun. Your perfectly grilled burgers and hot dogs deserve the best, and with several varieties to choose from, including unsliced old-fashioned, classic white or wheat, country potato, and mini sliders, the bakers of Village Hearth have the buns your family will love. Village Hearth buns, locally baked and delivered fresh daily.
What's that smell? You smell that? I hear that same thing every day. I'm Crust Buster Crockett, and I can tell you, I sure do smell that. That there's the sweet smell of cherry pie. That's the only thing you smell when Crockett's septic pumper trucks come rolling down the road to pump your septic and holding tanks. Hoo-wee! They sure do a good job keeping your system clean, and Crockett Septic can also take care of your porta-potty rentals, too. Just give them a call, 715-712-3456. Tell them Crust Buster Crockett sent you.
Crockett Septic serves you near or far. Holding tanks and septics pump right there in your yard. They got porta potties ready for you too. They'll pump away that stinky nasty poo. Crockett Septic, be there in a jiff. Crockett Septic, no more nasty whiff. Crockett Septic, they won't make you cry. Their pumper trucks smell just like cherry pie. Yeehaw!
This is Matt LePay, and you're listening to your home for your Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
Welcome back. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere show. We are here in Waukesha every Monday night at 7. This is WAUK 540 AM 101 FM, and I am delighted to have with us this evening the Minority Leader, State Representative Greta Neubauer, talking about democracy in Wisconsin and the future, and not just democracy, folks, whether we're actually going to make Wisconsin a state that people want to move to, raise their kids, have young people come in and make this state really run. So, Greta, we just had this huge election on April 4th, and we have a new Supreme Court justice, just Judge Janet Protasiewicz. She'll be taking the bench, I believe, August 1st. And it creates new opportunities, and, I think, given the numbers, you know, she won by 10 points in a purple state, which is very, very significant. So obviously people were looking for a change. How do you see that election impact the dynamics that we were just talking about in Madison? You know, this sort of Republican domination with very little flexibility or not listening to Democrats. I mean, you mentioned 2% of bills were even given a hearing, right? So, I mean, all of us that vote blue send people to Madison and they can't even get their bills heard on the floor. So you think there's going to be a change?
It is a very good and very big question. I guess I'll start by saying that, you know, it was a really decisive victory. You do not see that kind of margin in Wisconsin every day. Frankly, Tony Evers winning by 3 points, it really was a Wisconsin landslide, right? And so this was just absolutely a blowout. And it makes really clear, right, that the issues that were top of mind for voters in this election, abortion, of course, being one of them, democracy, are things that people in Wisconsin really care about. And they are not going to stop showing up to the polls, right? And they are not going to stop engaging until they feel like our laws represent their views. So, you know, what I'm excited about is that for the first time in 15 years, I think we have a court that is really going to fairly consider the cases in front of them, look at the Constitution of the state of Wisconsin, and decide their cases on that basis, right? Rather than just sort of knee-jerk partisan reactions. You know this, I know this, but the fact that we came one vote away on the state Supreme Court in Wisconsin from an attempt to overturn the 2020 election is and will always be shocking. And it shows just how far right the court had moved when we did not come that close in other states in the U.S. to overturning those election results. So I'm excited about that possibility. You know, I think for those of us who were worried that if Dan Kelly, who advised the 2020 fake electors, was on this court, right, that he would be susceptible to potentially, ignoring the popular vote in future elections as well. I have full confidence that regardless of who wins the election in 2024, Judge Janet will honor those election results, right? So sort of on to the assembly and what goes on in the legislature, I do think that it will change things just from the get-go, because the reality is that Republicans have just counted on the court to uphold everything that they have done over the past many years, right? That is a wide span of things. Of course, abortion's included in that, the most extreme gerrymander probably in the entire country, and all sorts of other changes to our democracy and the rules of how things work in Madison. So my hope is that we'll have some opportunities to challenge the unconstitutional gerrymander, the unconstitutional abortion ban, but also that it will just mean that Republicans in Madison recognize that the ways in which they have rigged the rules in their favor might not be in place forever, and that they will actually have to pass popular policy that will help them get elected when the rules are fair, right? Whether that's allowing ballot drop boxes or, you know, all sorts of other questions that could come in front of the court. So, you know, I'm not a lawyer. I'll leave that to you, right? But my general feeling is that we have a fair court. And a fair court means that it will benefit the people of Wisconsin, and the policies that the people of Wisconsin believe in will have a better shot of becoming law.
The the current leader in the assembly is Speaker Voss. I haven't heard much from him since the election. Is there any change in attitude from the speaker after the, or is it just too early to tell?
I think it's too early to tell. In some ways, it feels like it's been a lifetime since April 4th, but it's really only been about 2 weeks. And so I think, you know, we'll see throughout this budget process, we'll see throughout the remainder of this legislative session. It's very clear from sort of media about what's going on internally at the Republican Party that they recognize they have a problem, right? That they recognize that Tim Michels' loss and Dan Kelly's loss were huge blows for them. And it's going to be, again, a real threat to the ways in which they have rigged the rules. So we will see. We will see.
Before we go off to the break, I have to say one thing about Kelly. His speech, so-called concession speech, had to be the biggest loser speech I've ever heard. So on the other side, folks, we're going to talk a little bit about the biggest loser speech. This is the Paul Revere Show. This is WAUK 540 AM. We'll be right back.
Serving Central Wisconsin since 1940.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids. Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now for your crudités at 844-967-2789.
I thought they were crudy takes.
Crudy takes. See, man, it all comes back around to Sports Talk Live.
Something like that.
My wife wants some vegetables for crudité.
You know what I mean?
Listen Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
The Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council present the story of Cynthia and Ed.
My mother was always very active and independent, and she was familiar with her neighborhood. But one day, out of the blue, she stopped at the stop sign for much longer than usual. And she didn't know whether she should go forward or turn or just stay at the stop sign. She wasn't even really sure where she was at. She was very concerned. It was very unsettling for her.
It's important for you to talk to someone about it, to bring the family in on it. I felt so much better after my son told me, Mom, I don't want you to worry or be afraid. I'll be there for you and we'll figure it out.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Victor deployed for the first time to Afghanistan in 2003. At 4 in the morning, my phone rang. They said, I regret to inform you that your husband was wounded in action. Victor sustained a moderate traumatic brain injury. I was doing school full-time, and I was also then caring for Victor. One of the most important elements of caregiving is taking care of yourself. I just didn't want to forget that I also had goals and that I also had a life. What I did is I challenged Victor to meet me halfway. There are almost 6 million military and veteran caregivers across the nation. We have our own journey, and we can fulfill that journey at the same time that we are helping our loved one.
Visit aarp.org/caregiving for a free military veteran's guide to navigate your caregiving journey and better care for your loved one and yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
To protect his home and family from disaster, Steve used courage, wisdom, and his camera phone.
That should do it.
Way to go, Steve! By simply taking digital pictures of his family's important documents, Steve can always have them stored safely online, no matter when disaster strikes. Learn other simple ways to protect your home and family before a natural disaster at ready.gov. That's ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
Have you been trying to figure out how to finance your education? Let's be honest. The cost of college these days is staggering. If you have strong academic and leadership skills, you may be eligible for a scholarship from the Benevolent and Protective Order of Elks. Every year, the Elks National Foundation awards more than $3.3 million in scholarships that range from 1 to 4 years. So pick up an application today at your guidance counselor's office or your local Elks Lodge. To find the lodge nearest you, log on to elks.org. High school seniors, would you like to avoid student loans? Parents, would you like to give your child a better future without mortgaging your own? Well, a $60,000 Elks scholarship may just be your ticket to the college of your choice. Each year, the Elks National Foundation and your local Elks Lodge provides millions of dollars in college scholarships to high school seniors. If you're interested in learning more about the Elks scholarship opportunities, visit our website at elks.org. Elks care, Elks share.
A message from your Wisconsin Rapids Elks Club, number 693.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Mixed precipitation likely changing to all rain today, otherwise overcast. Highs around 41, northwesterly winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. Mixed precipitation possible at times tonight, lows around 33, cloudy. Mixed precipitation possible at times again tomorrow, 44, overcast skies. A dusting of snow today. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 36.
Hello, this is attorney Mark Thompson. This is the Paul Revere Show. This is your Paul Revere Show every Monday night, 7 o'clock WAUK 540 AM 101 FM. Tonight, I am privileged and honored to have with us State Representative Greta Neubauer, the minority leader, and we're talking about the implications of the new Supreme Court justice on the politics in Madison and whether we're going to make steps to break the gridlock that has really been tying up our state from moving forward. And before the break, we're talking a little bit about Kelly and his failure to concede with any kind of class. It seemed to me, and I just wanted to know what you've heard, Greta, seemed to me that it is like a low point in Wisconsin politics. You know, I've never seen it. You know, I moved here in 84. My parents were born. Well, my mom was born here. My dad grew up in Poissippi. But Wisconsin always had this reputation of, you know, if you lost, you lost with respect. You were a good, you know, right, good loser. And we try to teach our kids, right, how to be, you know, a good loser and a good winner. His unwillingness to recognize that he just got shellacked, right? I mean, completely rejected by the people. It would seem to me that he would have something positive to say or about the person that just completely pummeled him. I mean, ended his, frankly, I think ended his political career and ambitions. I don't think the Republicans will ever put him up again as a candidate for any judge. But what are you hearing in Madison from sort of the politicos? I mean,
yeah, I mean, certainly agreement with you that, you know, I'm sure there have been other sore losers, but that was pretty pretty outside the norm, right? I think often people will say,
I think you're being really kind.
Well,
you're right. We shouldn't talk bad about people.
I do my best. I do think, though, to your point, right? I knocked on a lot of doors this cycle. Colleagues, assembly members, fellow Democrats in the assembly knocked on a lot of doors, you know, with our former candidates and folks helping out. We reached almost 30,000. And what I heard a lot on the doors was people saying, I just don't want to see the ads anymore. I just don't want to be involved. Like, I know that this stuff is, I don't want my kids to see this. Just a lot of frustration generally with, you know, politics and the political process. And that's a conversation we could spend all day on. But I do think that his concession speech was a prime example of why people are frustrated with politics, right? Because he just behaved badly, right? And he behaved badly through the whole campaign because he didn't want to talk about abortion because he knew that the majority of people in Wisconsin did not agree with him, right? And he didn't want to talk about democracy because he knew he was on the wrong side of that. Didn't want to talk about his record, right? And so I think he just instead said, you know, all these unkind things about Janet and her character. And then he just continued right on doing that in his concession speech. And, you know, it does say a lot about a person, how you lose, right? It does.
It does. Yeah. It says everything, you know. And I sort of want to lead that into the issue that you hit on, right? We have a law, 1849 abortion ban in place. At a time women couldn't vote. And, you know, we have, you know, a significant number of members of the Republican Party that have not come out and rejected that position. The fact that Kelly lost by 10 points, just got trounced, primarily on the issue of abortion, fair maps, but also, and I think young people too. How do you see that energy coming to the equation in terms of possibilities going forward?
Yeah, it's a Great question. And, you know, I think people really did have the abortion issue top of mind because they know that there is literally a case, you know, brought forward by Josh Call that is moving through the courts at this very moment, right? So it felt very relevant to this election. And, you know, hopefully we see good progress with that case. You know, on the young people piece, it really was amazing to see the turnout of young people on campuses, you know, in cities in the all across the state of Wisconsin. And in the sort of let's say analysis that I've seen online from Republicans since the election, right? There's a lot of concern. Scott Walker, right? Very concerned about the way young people are voting. And I've seen some analysis from nationwide trends, right? That I think the narrative historically has been as people get older, they get more conservative. But we're not necessarily seeing that trend with my generation, right? And with people who are maybe not 18, but are still maybe holding on to that student debt, having a hard time buying a house, worried about their future, would like their kids to not be doing lockdown drills in schools, would like someone to address climate change and, you know, racial inequities. So there are very worrying trends for the Republicans that mean that they're going to have to ask themselves some really serious questions about whether they're going to be able to win in places like Wisconsin when we see more young people voting for Democratic candidates and holding on to those beliefs longer than maybe some of their predecessors, you know, in previous generations did. So hopefully that means that we see some movement from the other side on these issues and some willingness to work with us to address the really big challenges that Wisconsin faces. But, you know, remains to be seen whether they'll do that or they'll just try to keep rigging the rules to insulate themselves from public opinion.
You know, the I think, you know, you look at expectations, you know, and I think one thing I've learned over time is politics and the law changes much, much slower than often people wish it would or could. And so I think there's going to be this enthusiasm that we have a new justice, but that not we might not necessarily see real changes on decisions for a while, right? Later this year, certainly. How do you build in and address, you know, the public with that kind of anticipated, they expect changes quickly and you may not be able to deliver, right?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, I think it is certainly important that folks understand that we have been working for many years to dig ourselves out of a hole, right? And we are moving in a good direction in the state of Wisconsin, but things don't turn around overnight. When you have these kind of legislative maps and the rules that Republicans have put in place to benefit themselves. I do think that, you know, people in Wisconsin are following that. And I think that people know that change does take time. And, you know, and we're all just going to have to kind of keep digging in and doing the work. And for us, what that looks like as assembly members is continuing to just have that kind of direct communication. You know, you referenced how do we reach folks in some parts of Wisconsin where we don't have representatives, right? Or we haven't had Democratic reps or senators for many years. And that is really hard, right? In my community, I'm there. I'm going to local meetings. I'm talking to people on their doors. I'm calling them when they call my office, right? I can talk to them about the policies we're advocating for, even if they're not getting passed, you know, always or much of the time. But if you don't have that local representation, it's really hard for people to hear that perspective. And their legislator might come home and tell them, you know, I'm digging in on the culture wars, and that might be enough, right? Even though that representative is not advocating for their small business or their farm or broadband or, you know, childcare or K-12 funding. So hopefully we'll just be able to continue reaching folks. Because when we do, we know that our message works. We know that people resonate, but we also know that sometimes they're being misled. And, you know, given misinformation online or otherwise, that makes it hard sometimes to see the forest through the trees.
You know, you mentioned culture wars, and I think it's, you know, we have sort of a culture war, not only just culture war, but a civil rights battle going on in Tennessee. And there are a lot of young people that are watching, and we have, right, Representative Justin Jones and Representative Justin Pearson actually got thrown out of the Tennessee House rep, right? I mean, that's your house, the people's house.
Yeah.
How do you see that whole issue in Wisconsin? You know, and how are, you know, how are folks in Wisconsin addressing that issue? I mean, because they've just, all of a sudden we have this Tennessee on the front page, nationally, not just in Nashville.
Yeah, well, we certainly feel solidarity, you know, for our fellow representatives down there, the Justins. We know what it is like to have Republicans go to extreme lengths to try to silence people who are fighting for their rights or the rights of others. And I think this was certainly one in a series of wake-up calls for us about the lengths that, Republicans will be willing to go. And frankly, I think they, you know, not only because of what is right and the fact that those folks were elected by their constituents, but also because of the movement that they have started in response to them being ejected from the legislature, there's going to be a huge backlash, right? I just think that people are not going to stand for legislators deciding that they get to kick a member of the legislature out because they don't like how they exercise their free speech rights and override all of their constituents who voted for them. So, you know, just like we saw in this election in Wisconsin, people care more about democracy than I think some maybe pundits would like to believe, right? Of course, we know that people are focused on the issues that impact them every single day, what's on their table, the schools their kids go to, their job, right? But we also know that people are paying attention to issues of democracy. And I think what's happened in Tennessee is going to energize people nationwide. And it is shining a light on the continuing racism that we see in this country, you know, not just in the South, but everywhere. And I think calls on all of us just to recognize the historic moment that we're in and the need to dig in on protecting our democracy and one another and our rights.
You know, to me, one thing that, and you mentioned it, that, you know, former Governor Walker has been out, at least on social media, about, you know, we should be concerned about young people. And I mean, he's actually gone so far as to somehow imply, he didn't really imply, he said it, that young people are like being brainwashed. And I, you know, I think he's got it backwards, right? I mean, I think what I see in Tennessee and in the state and young people getting involved is that they're hungry for history to know the truth, because only if they're truthful can they make, you know, progress. Can we really move forward, as opposed to being like, clearly all those young people in Tennessee aren't brainwashed, right? I mean, they're thinking, and they're worried about their safety, and they're worried about their safety in schools. So we're coming up on a break. We'll be right back to wrap this up with State Rep Greta Neubauer on Wisconsin moving forward. And with Greta's at the leadership, we will keep moving forward. We'll be right back with your Paul Revere Show.
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
Ready to ride?
Just let me get my flip-flops on.
Whoa, Mom and Dad are going for a ride without their protective gear.
Quick, grab the checklist. I'll grab the gear.
Just where do you two think you're going without your safety gear?
Yeah, you know how we feel about riding without your gear.
Well, it's so nice out.
And we're only going for a short ride.
Not before you put all this gear on, you're not.
But...
riding pants?
Okay.
Check.
Motorcycle boots?
Bye-bye, flip-flops.
Check.
Armored jackets?
Nice.
Check.
Riding gloves?
Two pairs.
Check.
Last but not least, full-face helmets.
Check.
Now you're ready to ride.
And you look cool.
All the gear, all the time. Zero in Wisconsin. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov.
Be home on time for dinner.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Transportation.
Hey, what's up, y'all? I'm Kelly Clarkson, and as the daughter of a school teacher, I know just how important education is. No matter how old you are or your situation, continuing to learn will enrich your life and help remove barriers you didn't even know were there. So much opportunity, y'all. Whether it's a foreign language, history, or a different way to look at things, take some time each day to learn something new. This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news, talk, and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Welcome back, folks. This is attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere show. We are here every Monday night at WAUK 540 AM 101 FM from 7 to 8 to talk about democracy, or better yet, the state of democracy in this great state of Wisconsin. I'm honored and privileged to have with me State Rep. Greta Neubauer, minority leader in Madison, she's out of the 66th Assembly District, so Racine is her home, but she speaks for all of us all across the state. You know, I wanted to touch on, before I became a lawyer, I was a steel worker for almost 8 years, maybe a little more, in Indiana before my wife and I and my young daughter at the time moved to the state. There has been so much attack on working people, you know, with Act 10, the destruction of public unions, and it just driving down the standard of living. When I was young and worked at a union shop, there was a pension, there were great medical benefits, and people planned on, you know, how to retire with a pension, with enough money where they could go buy, you know, a cabin in the woods. And that was sort of like just your middle class dream that has really escaped so many people, I think. And I think some young people even can't even imagine that reality to me, but as a young, you know, 20-year-old. How does this, you know, the politics and the budget and shared revenue, how is that playing out right now? And how are we going to see money shared equally, and especially out there to the working folks? You know, I don't, whether you're Mexican, Puerto Rican, African-American, white, all across the state, what's going to happen in Madison? Because I think that's really going to impact a lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah. Really good questions, important questions. So, of course, the governor's budget proposal is really broad and deep, right? It covers so many different areas of policy. And, you know, I will start on the union piece, because we all are aware that over the last 10 years, Republicans have been, you know, systematically undermining the power of public and private sector unions. And that has hurt working people. You know, it is just no question, it has, right? It has meant that people are not maybe able to live that dream that you said, right? Of saving a little bit and having a good retirement and being able to, you know, be in the woods or wherever they hope to be, hopefully staying in Racine too, right? But I think we know that part of that longer term vision just has to be restoring collective bargaining rights, prevailing wage, right? Getting rid of right to work like they just did in Michigan after getting the majority. And there's just no question that it's essential. It helps those people who are in unions, and it helps the people who are not in unions, whose employers are competing with the people who are in unions, right? So I'm hopeful that we will be able to see some progress on that in the coming years. There's just no question that to restore the middle class in Wisconsin, that's essential. There are so many other good pieces of this budget. You know, we could spend all day talking about it, but on the shared revenue piece, you know, what I will just say is, Racine is a community that if shared revenue had kept pace, we would receive, I believe, about $21 million more dollars than we receive right now in shared revenue. We receive about $28 million currently, right? $21 million would be transformative for Racine. What we have done with our American Rescue Plan dollars is start work on a community health clinic, right? A federally qualified, hopefully someday, health clinic that serves people who did not previously really have access to healthcare. We have focused on trying to fix up homes in the community, right? So that people can have a stable place to live. There are so many good proactive things that we can do to reduce those inequities, economic, racial inequities, and really give people the opportunity to thrive if our local governments have the resources to not only fund the essential services of, you know, local public health departments and libraries and first responders, but also make those proactive investments that help people have opportunities going forward.
So the looking at sort of the short-term battlefield, right? We're going to have votes coming up on the budget, on items. Where do you see the key fights coming up? And how do you see, you know, the Republicans paying attention to this recent vote? I mean they have to be thinking this 10-point election that they just lost, you know, Kelly just got shellacked on, has a lot to do with how they take the votes. Do you see opportunities?
I mean, I hope we're all looking at, you know, the opinions of the people in our communities and the state and making votes on that basis. We'll see. You know, of course, big parts of our budget are K-12 education, shared revenue, and these many other services that the state and local governments provide. And so, you know, I, of course, really encourage folks to get involved. I think people sometimes feel like, you know, an email or a call goes into a void, but I really would encourage people to keep doing that. If you have a Democratic legislator, still reach out. It's helpful for us to hear from people who say, listen, I'm an employer and I want to hire this great person, but they can't find childcare, right? And that is helpful for me to know that so that I can share that when I'm advocating for the extension of childcare counts, right? So I would just really encourage folks to reach out. There's a portal to reach the Joint Finance Committee. You can, of course, always reach out directly to your legislators. There's some more events coming up, including a virtual listening session held by the Democratic Senate and Assembly caucuses. So keep doing that. And I would say, of course, it's always helpful to find that personal issue that really resonates with you. And as I've said, I think some of those huge buckets that are just going to impact all of us for years to come are around local government funding and education funding. And I'm really hoping that we can see some significant progress in those areas in this budget.
So we have a little less than a minute to go. Here's your 20-second chance. What do you say to young people now at this moment? What do they do?
Well, I think young people really understand how much is at stake. You know, I came into this work doing work around climate change, and we know that our futures are going to be shaped by the decisions that are being made right now. And that is clearly obvious to young people who are engaging in politics, in organizing and advocacy at incredible rates. So very
thank
excited
you,
to see your future.
Greta, thank you, listeners. Get active.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Locally grown.